visit and watch the wolves of Yellowstone National Park, McIntyre knows the toughness of their lives. He deems resilience the main trait of these predators as they deal with setbacks from the time they are pups until old age sets in. Their prey resists being brought down and often harms them in the process. They also face competition from grizzlies who often lay claim to wolf kills. And then there is the continuous rivalry among the wolves themselves, resulting in fierce fights in which they lose territory, their position in the pack, or their lives. About 50% of adult wolves in Yellowstone die in fights with other wolves. On the other hand, there is also great loyalty between pack members, a high level of cooperation when they tackle large prey, and the joy of companionship and playful offspring. Wolves are highly sociable. All of this is described in a straightforward personal style with ample attention to each individual. If there's one thing clear, it's that wolf personalities are as strikingly different as those of humans. No two wolves are alike. Having extensively documented the power politics of primates, such as in my book Chimpanzee Politics, I was most intrigued by McIntyre's descriptions of the wolves' power couples, the alpha male and alpha female. People often forget about the existence of alpha females. Also, in primates and human society, we tend to focus on male leaders, even though there are always female leaders as well. Chimpanzees are considered male-dominated, but the top female may exert enormous social influence. In wolves, McIntyre believes that the alpha female is the leader of the pack, especially when it comes to decisions that directly impact pack welfare, such as where to den and when and in which direction to travel. The male's duties include keeping the pack safe. And so dominance is contextual. Under some circumstances, interpack conflict, the hunt, he acts as the leader, and under other circumstances, she does. People in a long-term relationship won't be surprised by this dynamic. To start from observations, as McIntyre does, is a technique that is often overlooked in science. Typically, scientists develop hypotheses that they try to support or refute by the data they collect. This approach has its limitations in that hypotheses are limited by the human imagination. They make us ignore unexpected behavior that doesn't fit any existing theory. The more open-ended approach offered here yields a richer picture by just relating what the wolves do daily and how their lives unfold over the years. These accounts will inspire future generations of naturalists by telling them what to look for and what to expect. There are good reasons to be worried about the wolf's future. This apex predator was virtually exterminated once. Given the fear-mongering by its human enemies, this process could be repeated. Providing correct information is critical, such as debunking false stories about how wolves kill more prey than needed, are bad for herbivore populations, or are dangerous to people. Our species must find ways to coexist with wolves, since their overall effect on ecosystems is highly favorable. The danger to human life is minimal. Enjoy the Shakespearean dramas that the Yellowstone wolves engage in, as told by one of the greatest experts, Franz Duval. Introduction. This book is about what it is like to be a wild wolf and how wolf society works, based on my 29 years of studying wolves in Yellowstone National Park. Each wolf has its own personality as well as differing levels of physical and social skills, ambition, and willingness to take on risk. Wolves, like humans, are thinking beings that are constantly making choices and decisions. Some decisions are small, such as when to take an afternoon nap or how to hide a piece of meat from your siblings. Others are life-altering. Yellowstone wolves tend to use four different life strategies during their adult years. Dispersing is the first of those four strategies. For a wolf, dispersing means leaving your family and setting out to find